Well, thank you and good evening, everyone. We've had a wonderful day here fellowshipping with you here at Listowel. Yvonne and I were the beneficiaries of wonderful hospitality today. We've just had a wonderful day with you folks today, and we just greatly appreciate it. Now, this morning, we spent some time in Numbers, and we looked briefly at the narrative of the 12 spies going into the land to spy out the land. And we learned that there were 10 unbelieving spies who brought back a bad report and 2 believing spies who looked at the whole circumstance of the enemies and the giants in the land and so on through a different lens, a different perspective, looking at it through God's lens. And we learned one of the believing spies' name was Caleb. And we spent this morning looking at his testimony that he fully followed the Lord. Well, there was a second believing spy, and that was Joshua, and we're going to consider Joshua this evening. And so in that regard, I'd like you to turn with me, please, to Joshua chapter 24. And we want to consider tonight together the influence of Joshua. So Joshua 24 for our reading this evening. We will be referring to several verses throughout the book of Joshua. But for our opening this evening, we'll read some verses from chapter 24 of Joshua. Joshua 24 and verse 1. And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And then the next several verses, we have Joshua laying out to the people, reminding them of the benefits of God. And it's interesting, if you look through these next several verses, we see in verse 2 that Joshua said unto the people, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel." And then as we go through the number of the following verses, we see the Lord said, "I took, I gave." Verse 5, "I sent and I did. I brought you out." Verse 6, "I brought your fathers out of Egypt." Verse 7, "I have done in Egypt." Verse 8, "And I brought you into the land of the Amorites. I gave them into your hand. I destroyed them before you." We continue on into verse 11, and we see, it says, "I delivered them into your hand," speaking of their enemies. "I sent the hornet before you." Verse 13, "I have given you a land." And so we see in these verses that the Lord, through Joshua, reminds the people of the numerous things that he did for their benefit. It was all of the Lord, not of them. And so we pick up our reading in verse 14. "And so in light of all these things that the Lord has reminded the people of through Joshua, there's now the challenge. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And then if we could drop down to verse 29, please. "And it came to pass after these things that Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Serah, which is in Mount Ephraim, on the north side of the hill of Gaash. And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua, and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel." And the Lord allowed his blessing to the reading of his word to us this evening. And so we see here that we are at the end of the career of Joshua. He has gathered the people together. He's reminded the people of the many blessings and benefits they've received from the hand of the Lord. And then we see in these verses that we just read, in verses 29 to 31, we get some insight into the tremendous influence that Joshua had on the nation of Israel. Because we see that Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua, which had known the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. So Joshua had a tremendous impact on the nation of Israel. He had a tremendous influence on the leadership of Israel. So much so that it continued even after Joshua was gone. And so he had a tremendous influence. And what we want to do tonight is we want to explore a little bit about what that influence was and what we can learn from that influence. So it's impressive to note how great an influence is that Joshua had on his generation. Of course, we know that that influence was due to the fact that God was with him. And God was with him in doing many great works. And if we were to go through the book of Joshua, we could see that a number of those things that God had was alongside Joshua with. The parting of the Jordan River, for example. The defeat of 31 kings. The fall of Jericho. The day the sun stood still, the sun and moon stood still. So, of course, we give the credit to God himself. God was with Joshua. Joshua was blessed of God. God encouraged and strengthened Joshua as he led the nation of Israel and throughout his life. But credit has to be given to Joshua as well. Because from the very beginning, the promise of God's support was based upon Joshua's faithful obedience to the word of God. And so let's go to the beginning of the book of Joshua, and we'll see the beginning of Joshua's leadership career in the nation of Israel. And we'll read the first 9 verses together of Joshua chapter 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not be any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And I'll just pause there for a moment. You see, now that Moses has passed away, and the responsibility of leading the nation of Israel now falls to Joshua. Now, I don't know if you can just imagine what Joshua must have felt like at this point. He was being asked to fill the shoes of one of the greatest heroes of the nation of Israel, Moses, one of the greatest leaders in the history of Israel. And Joshua was being asked to step in. It must have been terrifying for Joshua. We learned this morning that Joshua was seen as a servant and a minister of Moses. And so he would have been along with Moses all the way along. And he would have witnessed all the murmuring and all the complaining and all the frustration that Moses experienced in leading this stiff-necked people. And now Moses is gone. His mentor is gone. And he is given the responsibility to lead this nation. And so isn't it gracious of God to say to him, I will be with thee, I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. What tremendous encouragement for Joshua. But God goes on to say to Joshua in verse 6, Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. And here is the instruction that God gives to Joshua, which is the secret, if I can put it in these terms, of his success. And by extension, it is for us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 8, This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Tremendous encouragement from God to this young leader who has been given this tremendous responsibility. And so we see, and we will see, that Joshua follows this command of God. He takes this encouragement, he applies it to his life, he applies it to his responsibilities, to his leadership tasks. And then we see in Joshua 24 the results as we look at the end of his career. Therefore, Joshua stands before us as an example of what it takes to be influential for God, to be a great leader. Every generation needs good leadership, especially in times of struggle and doubt. For those who lead and for those who might serve as leaders someday, Joshua serves as a role model. But he also, for those who follow, serves as an example of what should be looked for in leadership, what should be looked for in terms of being an influence for God. In that sense, he's a role model for all believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, because all of us are called upon to be an influence for God. All of us are called to be a light in the generation in which we find ourselves in. And each of us has the responsibility to be an influence for God. And so in this respect, there's much that we can learn from the example of Joshua. And so let's look at some characteristics of Joshua and see how we might be able to apply them today in our own lives. And so let's first of all begin by noticing that, first of all, Joshua was a man of humility. He was a man of humility. Before Joshua was a leader, we see in his career that he was willing to serve. He was more than willing to serve. For 40 years, he served Moses in the wilderness. He was known as Moses' minister. He was known as Moses' servant. So in Exodus 24, verse 13, we see him referred to as Moses' minister. And in Exodus 33, verse 11, he is referred to as Moses' servant. And so in some sense, Moses was mentoring Joshua. And Joshua was there to provide assistance and help to Moses in the tremendous responsibility of leading the nation of Israel. And so there would have been very much a teacher-student relationship there. There would have been very much a mentoring relationship there. And those are things that we need to look at. And it's very important that we apply those kind of things in our lives. Certainly elders have a responsibility in assembly to look out for young men and women, to identify their gifts, to help nurture those gifts and so on. But I would suggest that all of us have a responsibility to look for those that are less experienced than us, a little younger than us, and look for opportunities to help them develop and help them grow in their lives for the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be active in discipleship. We need to be providing opportunities for our young people to take on responsibility and to serve. Great leadership is found in those who have learned to be great followers. And it helps preparation in leading. So if you would have ambition to lead, you must first seek opportunity to serve. Sometimes we wonder why the young are leaving the church. There could be a multitude of reasons. We could talk about many, many things. But one of the things, just one of the things I think that contributes to that potentially, is that we need to be providing opportunities for young people to serve in the assembly. We need to give them opportunities to take on responsibility, even if it's just collecting up the hymn books after a meeting, even if it's just giving them the opportunity to take a cup of tea to one of the elderly people in the meeting or whatever it may be. We need to be seeking opportunities to give young people the opportunity to take on responsibility, to take on greater and greater spheres of service, that the Lord may use them in the local assembly. And when children are provided opportunities to serve, that gives them the opportunity to build on greater responsibility in the church. And in that sense, they will start to grow in their leadership capacity. We need to always be looking to the future. We always need to be looking forward. We always need to be looking for vision and looking for those who have gift amongst us, and even in the young people, and give them the opportunity to grow and to develop in that sense, that because they are the future leaders of the church. So we need to give them opportunity. We see this very pointedly in the career of Joshua. As he grew in his leadership ability, it was through his willingness to serve, and it was through the willingness of those that led him to mentor and disciple and to teach him. But as we look at Joshua, and as we look at him even deep into his leadership career, we see that he was even willing to serve even as a leader. And that's even as he, even when he was magnified by the Lord himself. I'd like to refer you to two verses. Look at Joshua chapter 3, first of all, and in verse 7. And it says, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, This day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee." And then if we look at chapter 4, we see in verse 14, "On that day the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life." So even as a leader, he was willing to serve, even though the Lord himself had magnified Joshua. We see that he was still willing to serve one that was greater than himself. And so let's look at Joshua chapter 5, a familiar portion, in verse 13. "And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to earth and did worship and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place wherein thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so." And so here we see the worshiping heart of Joshua. We have here a theophany, that is a pre-incarnate presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see that Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship. And what does he say? He says, "What saith my Lord unto his servant?" Joshua is willing to serve one who is greater than him. He was willing to serve one that was greater than him. Even though at this point he is a great leader in Joshua, in the nation of Israel, Joshua is still willing to serve one greater than himself. And so as we look at Joshua, we see that great leaders do not let praise, they don't let power, they don't let popularity go to their head. They keep their egos in check. And they recognize and they become humble enough to know that they are to serve and they are not to serve, or not to be served. It humbles them even more. And it calls to mind Mark chapter 10, and where we read, "Whosoever," the Lord saying, "whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. And whosoever of you will be chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." And so, if you would serve to lead, if you would seek to lead, you must be willing to serve. So Joshua was humble. And we see that Joshua's humility is also demonstrated as we consider another important quality that we find in him. And that is, the second point, a man of faith who had complete and unwavering trust in God. Joshua had complete and unwavering trust in God. We saw that this morning in what we saw when he was sent out to spy out the land. We mentioned that there were 10 of the 12 spies demonstrated their lack of faith in God by their report. They came back and they said, "There are giants in the land, our enemies are in the land, there's strong walls in the land," and they referred to themselves as grasshoppers. They didn't believe that Israel had the capacity to destroy their enemies, even though God had promised that he would drive them out before them. But we read that Joshua and Caleb alone took God at his word, and they believed that there was a beautiful land, that even though there were enemies everywhere that were strong and that there were walled cities and great giants, they believed God, and they encouraged the people of God to believe and take God at his word and to go in and take the land. But despite the prayer pressure that they must have felt, Joshua, along with Caleb, demonstrated their faith in God by his report. So let's just remind ourselves of that, and let's go back to Numbers chapter 14, and we'll read verses 6 to 9 again. Numbers 14, in verse 6, "And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us unto this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. What confidence, what faith Joshua had. And in spite of the fact of the hundreds of thousands of Israelites who chose to believe the bad report of the unbelieving spies, two stood up and said, No, let's not fear. Do not rebel. Let's go in and take the land. It's ours, and God has promised it to us. So we see the tremendous confidence and faith that Joshua had in God. We see that faith demonstrated also in the fall of Jericho. You recall in Joshua chapter 6, the Lord's instructions to Joshua to take the city. You recall that the Lord instructed Joshua and the armies of Joshua to march around the city once for 6 days, and then on the seventh day, the seven priests were to come and they were to blast their trumpets 7 times and one long blast at the end. And God promised that the walls would come down. Now stop and consider this for a moment. Joshua was a military man. Joshua was trained in and skilled in the arts of war, in strategy. And the instructions that God was giving him here was something so far removed and so beyond what he had been trained in terms of the art of war. He could have very easily protested and said, Well, wait a second, God. That's the way you want us to wage a siege? That's the way you want us to attack our enemies? To march around the city and to shout and to blast trumpets? But Joshua had full faith and trust in God. We can think of Luke chapter 5, where the Lord instructed Peter to cast his net. You remember the story? Peter and the others were out fishing all night and they hadn't caught one thing. And they came back and they were discouraged and they were frustrated. And the Lord meets them and he says, Cast the net out on the one side of the boat. And Peter says to the Lord, Well, we've been out fishing all night, but at your word, Lord, we'll cast out the net. Peter could have looked at that and said, I'm an experienced fisherman, and you're a carpenter. And you're telling me after everything that we've done with all of our skill and all of our knowledge and our experience of fishing, you're telling us to go back out and cast the net at a time when the fish aren't biting. Well, we know what happened. The nets were full to almost breaking. And so it's only full trust and faith in the Lord that could have led Joshua to follow such instructions. And he did. As trained as he was in the arts of war, he trusted the Lord. And it led to having a place in the roll call of the heroes of faith in Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 verse 30 says, By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Great leaders realize that they cannot take their place or faith in men, including themselves. They must look to God. They recognize that fruitful service cannot happen in our own strength, in our own wisdom. The secret is to be guided by Him, to be guided by God. So not only was Joshua humble, not only was Joshua a man of faith, but Joshua, and the third point I would point out tonight, is that he was a man of God's word. He was a man of God's word. Joshua was instructed, right at the beginning of the book we read, he was instructed to make the law of God his rule. He was told that the word of God shows him how to be successful in the battle of life. And so he was given instruction that the word of God was to be his guide for life. It was to be his battle plan. It was to be his playbook. And so we read and we saw that 3 times Joshua is told to be strong and courageous. He was told about the size and the duration of the task. He was aware of the pressures of leading a stubborn and stiff-necked people. He was aware that there was the absence of his mentor Moses, and yet the Lord called him, and the Lord enabled him, and gave him this precious instruction concerning his word. The Lord promised him his own presence and his own word. And so his success, Joshua's success, was directly related to his adherence to the word of God. And this is an important point to repeat. His success was directly related and directly proportional to his adherence and to his obedience to the word of God. And it's no different for you and I today. Our spiritual success, our spiritual well-being, our spiritual health is directly proportional and directly related to our commitment, to our dedication, to our discipline, and to our diligence concerning the word of God. There is no other way apart from God's word. So to ensure success, Joshua had to fulfill all the law as given by Moses. So we see in Joshua chapter 1, verse 7, "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest." He had to keep it. He had to be steadfast. He had to be encouraged by it. He had to obey it. He had to apply the word of God. And God's promise was that he would prosper. To ensure that he did, he was to meditate upon the law day and night. We see in verse 8 again, "The book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein." So he was to meditate upon that law day and night. The word of God was to be his constant companion. He was to dwell on it. He was to feed on it. He was to memorize it and hide it in his heart. He was to read it. He was to study it. He was to know it. He was to obey it. He was to fill his mind and his heart with the word of God. He was to be saturated with the word of God. He was to allow the word of God to transform his life, to renew his mind. He literally had to have the word of God woven into his DNA. This was the instruction that was given to Joshua. And he did it. Time and time again, we see that Joshua was true to the word of God. And not only was he true to the word of God in terms of his own personal walk and his own personal testimony, but we see that he taught the word of God. He encouraged the people in the word of God. We see again in verse 12 of chapter 1, "And to the Reubenites and to the Gadites and to the half-tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying, remember the word." He gathered the people before him. He got this instruction from God, and then he gathered the people around him. And what does he say to them? He says, remember the word. And so he reminds the two and a half tribes of their responsibility. We also see in Joshua chapter 8, verses 30 to 35, he was true to the word of God in renewing the covenant at Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim. Let's look at chapter 8 for a moment, and in verse 30. And then we see in verse 30 that Joshua built an altar unto the Lord God of Israel in Mount Ebal, as Moses the servant of the Lord commanded the children of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of whole stones over which no man hath lift up any iron, and they offered thereon burnt offerings unto the Lord, and sacrificed peace offerings. And he wrote there upon the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he wrote in the presence of the children of Israel. And all Israel and their elders and officers and their judges stood on his side, on this side of the ark, and on that side before the priests of the Levites, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, as well as the stranger, as he that born among them, half of them over against Mount Gerizim, and half of them over against Mount Ebal, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded before that they should bless the people of Israel. And now we see in verse 34, afterward he read all the words of the law, the blessings and the cursings, according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses commanded which Joshua read not before all the congregation of Israel, with the women and the little ones and the strangers that were conversant among them. So he encouraged the people to obey the word. He modeled the word before them. He taught them. He read before them the words and the commandments of God. And then we see in Joshua chapter 11, verse 15, a summary of Joshua's devotion to the word in verse 15. As the Lord commanded Moses, his servant, so did Moses command Joshua, and so did Joshua. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded Moses. And so that is a summary of Joshua's devotion to the word of God. To the very last detail, he presented the word of God to the people. He did not pick and he did not choose what he would apply. He left nothing undone. And that's important for us in this day and age. There's too much compromise in the church today in regards to the word of God. Make no mistake about it, even within the church today, the word of God is under severe attack. And we must take the example of Joshua to heart. We must be true to the word of God. We must adhere to it. We must apply it. We must teach it. We must rely upon it. We must not be always looking for that second opinion concerning the word of God. Everything that we need to live a prosperous and fulfilling life in the Lord Jesus Christ is found in the word of God. And so we must honor this word. We must proclaim it. We must teach it. And we must be devoted and diligent in it in our own personal lives. We need to fall in love with the word of God again. And we need to stand by it. We need to stand on the promises of God. And we see even at the end of Joshua's life that he encouraged the nation to heed God's word. And so what we're seeing here is we do a very quick flyover of the book of Joshua. We see even at the end of his life, he's 110 years old, and at the end of his life, he's still encouraging the people of God, the nation of Israel, in the word. And we see his influence continues even after he's passed on. So Joshua was a man of strong faith, and faith comes from the word of God, as we learn in Romans chapter 10, verse 17. One cannot be a man of faith without being a man of God's word. We cannot influence, we cannot grow, we cannot succeed spiritually. It is impossible apart from the word of God. The word of God is vital. It is essential. It is a must. And for those who would lead and those who would desire to be an influence for God in their generation, they need to heed the charge God gave Joshua in Joshua 1:8. Which is a similar charge that Paul gave Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. And we see what was encouraged in the Old Testament is picked up also in the New Testament. 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul talking to his young son in the faith. And he says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 13, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." Inextricably linked to being a man of God's word is being, the fourth point concerning Joshua, a man of prayer. We see Joshua praying for his people, but we see Joshua praying for his people even in the face of their failures. Many times defeat comes after victory. Sometimes when we feel strongest in ourselves is when our greatest failures blindside us. Sometimes these things come when we least expect it. And so we see Joshua praying for his people's failures. In Joshua chapter 7, in verses 6 to 9, they were defeated at Ai. What happened there? The people didn't pray before they went up against their enemies there. They didn't seek God's face. And he did not, that is God, did not command them to go as he did with Jericho. And they learned a very painful lesson. The Canaanites were no stronger, but Israel was weaker. Why? Because sin had come into the camp. When prayer is down amongst God's people, the elders need to be praying. Elders need to be praying. The leadership needs to be praying. And so we see Joshua in this face of this situation in Joshua 7, that he and the elders are pleading with God on behalf of Israel. And so even when the people of God fail, even when the people of God are speaking against you and criticizing you, you need to be on your knees praying. You need to be praying. Parents, we need to be praying for our kids. Even when our kids are rebelling against us, we need to be on our knees praying for them. We need to be praying. So we see him praying for his people's failures, but we also see Joshua praying in the midst of warfare. Now think about this again. Warfare is chaotic. There's mayhem going on. So in the midst of chaos and mayhem and warfare, we see Joshua praying. As Israel is routing the kings of the south, we see in Joshua chapter 10. He's not trusting in their own strength. He looks to the Lord for help, who causes the sun and the moon to stand still. It's said of Martin Luther that he dedicated the first 3 hours of every day to devotion time with the Lord. And one particular day, his assistant came to him and said, went over the day's schedule, and it was a particularly busy day. And the assistant had suggested that perhaps that morning time could be cut down a little bit to accommodate all the pressures of the day. And Martin Luther protested and said, no, we need to act an extra hour. So on top of the 3 hours, he had an additional hour because of the pressures he had that day. We see him praying in the midst of warfare. Joshua was a man of prayer, and he aligned his will with that of the Lord's, and the aid of the Lord was provided. And leaders need all the help they can get. They need to be men of prayer. And finally, it should be clear from what we have already seen that another quality of leadership and another quality of influence found in Joshua is that he was a man who put God first. He made God his first and main priority, even before the business at hand, even in the middle of a military campaign. We saw that in Joshua chapter 8 a few moments ago. And we see that even as Joshua was engaged in prayer, as he set up the altars at Mount Gerizim and Ebal, we see that Joshua still put God first. And as you go into Joshua chapter 9, in verses 1 to 2, you see that that actually gave time for the enemies to gather themselves together. But that didn't concern Joshua. Joshua was more concerned to committing himself to God. And so even in the midst of this military campaign, God was first. Joshua still put God first and put his commandments concerning the blessings and the cursings before all else, before the business at hand. But he also put God before others. He didn't care what others might do or think. He was going to serve the Lord. As for me and my house, he declared, we will serve the Lord. And then we see his strong stand influenced others for good, as we see in Joshua 24, verse 16. And so in conclusion, it was these qualities that made Joshua so influential in his generation. He was a man of humility. He was a man of faith and trust in God. He was a man of God's word. He was a man of prayer. He was a man who gave God the preeminence in his life, put God first. But he wasn't alone in these things, because it appears, as we read in Joshua 24, verse 31, that there were others of his generation that were much the same because of Joshua's influence. As long as the elders who had been contemporary with Joshua survived, the nation as a whole served the Lord. What an influence Joshua had. What an influence these leaders had. Oh, that we would have leaders like this in our day and age. We need to pray that God will raise up leaders amongst us. So we are not talking about supernatural qualities here. We're not talking about this being reserved for an elite brand, or an elite group of believers. This is something that each and every person is capable of possessing. Is it the desire of your heart to be an influence for God in this generation? And finally, in conclusion, I think it's important that we consider the similarities that exist between Joshua and our Lord Jesus Christ. Joshua is often looked at as a type of Christ. First of all, their names are the same. Joshua is Hebrew. Jesus is Greek. And the name means Savior. Joshua was the leader of the Israelites and led them into the promised land of Canaan. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the captain of our salvation and the leader who will lead us into the promised land of heaven. He is our pilot who will lead us into the harbor of rest. The Lord Jesus said in John 14:1, I go to prepare a place for you. And we just discussed at some length that Joshua pointed the people to the word of God. Well, of course, as we look at our Lord Jesus Christ, he did the same, didn't he? Man, he said, shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the word, out of the mouth of God. He further said in John 6:63, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Joshua, we see also, was an agent of both grace and damnation. In Joshua 6, verse 7, we see that the city accused only Rahab and her household, it says, shall live because she hid the messengers. And so grace towards Rahab and damnation to the nations of Canaan. But our Lord Jesus is both Savior and Judge of all, who metes out death as well as life. Matthew chapter 25, verse 34, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And in verse 41, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. So would you be an influence for God in your generation? If that is the desire of your heart, have you humbly submitted yourself to the one who should be the commander and the leader of your life? It's a question for all of us to consider. And if God in his grace sees fit to give us another week, the Lord Jesus Christ does not return, it's something we ought to ask ourselves. It's something we ought to examine our hearts before the Lord about. Would we be an influence for God in this generation? Our Heavenly Father, we bow in thy presence at the conclusion of our meeting tonight. We give thee our thanks for the Lord's Day. We're thankful, Father, for this assembly. We're thankful for Christian fellowship. We're thankful, Father, for the ministry of thy word. We're thankful, Father, for our Lord Jesus Christ and the privilege again to remember him this morning. Our Father, we pray that if thy Son be not returned and I see fit to give us another week, we pray that it would be a week for each one of us that is characterized by love and devotion and service to our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that we'd seek opportunities to proclaim him, to demonstrate and show his love to others and to a lost world. We pray, our Father, we bring glory and honor to his name. So, our Father, we pray at the conclusion of our meeting tonight that they would part us with thy blessing. Take us to each of our homes in safety, and we pray these things, giving thee thanks in the precious and worthy name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.